Hello, Gateway Church. It's Pastor Prudy. I must admit, I love being creative, making steps, making these videos. It's so fun. It's one of the positives of being in lockdown. I have got a beautiful scripture to start off our session today. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of man's heart. There is nothing that can be hidden from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God. Jesus, the Son of God, our high priest, is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but he did not sin. Let us be brave then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Lord God, we commit this service to you this morning. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for its ability to speak to everyone, no matter where they are. We give it to you. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish through studying your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's get straight into it. You know, I've titled this message, Above All. Above All. And it is round six, everybody. Well done. We've had 6 weeks of looking at the amazing letter written to us many, many years ago by James. You know, boxing, I'll get my gloves on. I bought these gloves and this boxing bag for the boys, I'm not sure, a couple of years ago. Damien hung it. You know what? They hardly use it. I've used it a couple of times to do this sort of stuff. And it is fun, isn't it? It is fun boxing things. And, you know, it's especially good for cardio workouts, reduces stress, increases muscle tone. It's a safe outlet to release fear and anger. It improves coordination, builds strength and power, and it can even improve self-confidence and self-esteem. You know, I think that walking by the Spirit is similar. It gives us all the above benefits and even more. You know, as Christians, we are in a spiritual battle, and it requires spiritual armor, grit, stamina, and determination. In professional boxing, bouts take place over 12 3-minute rounds with 1 minute rest between rounds. So comparatively, in this series, we're halfway through a fight. But don't worry, we're not going to go the full 12 rounds. How are you recovering from the beating of the word from James? I hope that you're recovering and implementing the great wisdom shared in this letter. Back to the rules. The only method of attack is punching with a clenched fist if you're a boxer. And you may not strike below the belt, in the kidneys, or the back of the head or neck of your opponent. You cannot use the ropes for leverage, and you cannot hit an opponent when they're down. A boxer hit with a low blow can take a 5-minute break to recover. And even an unintentional foul, such as the clash of heads, ends the fight before 4 rounds are completed. This is called a no contest. From the 5th onwards, the decision goes to the judges' cards and is either a technical decision for either fighter or a technical draw. I found that information from rulesofsport.com. Round 6. Well, who's fascinated with numbers? Well, God is too. numbers, dates, times, and seasons were not only created by him, but he also speaks so powerfully to us through them. According to Bible scholars, just as the number seven typically signifies completion or perfection, especially of God, the number six is one shy of that, which means it signifies imperfection. More specifically, it refers to the imperfection of man and the sin and weakness he has. And that's quoted from Steps of Faith. As a human, I have many weaknesses. At times I stress, worry, doubt, fear, covet, and get angry. And that's just to name a few things, a few ways that I'm weak. The Bible tells us that our hearts are desperately wicked and that we need forgiveness. We all need forgiveness and redemption from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, this week's punch in the guts comes from James chapter 5, verse 12. And it starts with this: above all, my brothers, do not use an oath when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven or earth or by anything else. Say only yes when you mean yes, and say no when you mean no. And then you will not come under God's judgment. You know, James is pulling no punches, meaning to behave unrestrainedly. He's holding nothing back. This expression comes from boxing, where to pull one's punch means to hit less hard than one can. But James is holding nothing back. He's swinging. He's hitting with his best shot. He wants to give us believers his best shot, the full truth, the full story. In Ephesians chapter 6:14, the belt of truth is the first piece of armor that Paul encourages us to put on. The belt of truth holds the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Wear the truth like a boxing trophy. The winner of this trophy is the Lord Jesus himself. He is the truth, the ultimate heavyweight champion of the world. He defeated the devil and shares his victory with whomever will receive it. You know, God's gift of salvation is free. I've made some vows in my lifetime. The first one, I think, was when I gave my life to Jesus. When I asked him to come and live in my heart. When I asked him to forgive me of all my sins. I made a vow to follow him all the days of my life. I also, when I was a teenager, made a vow that I would leave my old self in the waters of baptism. And I publicly confessed my faith in Jesus. That was another vow that I made. When I got married to my amazing husband, Damien, 25 years ago, I made a vow and several vows promising to love him all the days of my life. We're doing really well so far, but we've had many challenges too, and God's been our strength. When we had children, we dedicated each of our children to God. We promised to God that we would raise them in his ways. And again, that's been quite challenging at times, but God has been faithful to Damien and I in the vows that we've made. He continues to support us and teach us how to remain faithful and true to what we've promised that we would do to him and to each other. We make vows that are good, and we fulfill them by his grace and through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 5, 33 to 37, it also says this about vows. You have also heard that people were told in the past, do not break your promise, but do what you have vowed to do to the Lord. But now I tell you, do not use any vow when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is the resting place for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not even swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Just say yes or no. Anything else you say comes from the evil one. You know, Matthew and James are saying the same thing. However, in the James reading, he says that above all, so above all those things that he'd exhorted us to walk in during the previous chapters of his letter, he makes this command special. He's saying, don't make flippant and careless oaths. Don't try and impress others. Don't try and add weight to your promise by bringing God into it. And don't use oaths or vows to try and control people to obtain a particular outcome. But we'll go back to the start of that scripture, which says above all. But above what? What is James saying? Let's summarize the points that he made in previous chapters. Suffering produces perseverance. Ask God for wisdom. Riches are fleeting. God cannot be tempted. Faith without works is dead. Don't show favoritism. Use your words to speak life and praise God. Wisdom is born of God and not of man. Be friends with God and not with the worldly system around you. Don't judge others. Don't boast about tomorrow. Riches are fleeting. Be just and fair. Be patient for the Lord's return. Don't complain against each other. And finally, remember to be content in all situations. Above all, my brothers, do not use an oath when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Say only yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. And then you will not come under God's judgment. James, as some Americans would say, continues to get all up in our business. He gets all up in our business. He gets in our face. He gets personal. He challenges the very core of why we do things and why we say things. He pulls no punches, holds nothing back, for God disciplines those he loves. So, Lord, you might be saying, I need help. How do I let my yes simply be yes and let my no simply be a no? Don't worry, because I've come up with some very fancy swift moves. And I've called them mastering the art of using yes and no. So here we go. Consider requests and invitations you receive carefully and prayerfully. Take your time when people invite you into things. We need to seek God in all things and walk by faith once we've made a decision of any kind. In more serious matters, like considering a marriage proposal, moving houses, or taking a new job, it's a great idea to fast and pray and seek godly wisdom from trusted people in these situations, because they have lasting impacts upon us, right? Be well organized so that we can be faithful in what we've committed to do. Don't make important decisions late at night or send sensitive emails or texts. I found that I'm mentally, emotionally, and physically tired at this time of the day. And as hard as it is sometimes to hold back from sending things or writing things, most times, we ought to wait until we're rested to make important decisions or engage in important conversations with others. We need to know our schedules and how much we can handle. Be strong and confident when you're making decisions. May we always aim to speak the truth in love. People depend upon our honesty. And if we're finding it difficult to meet a responsibility, we do as it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 to 5. Have you promised to be responsible for someone else's debts, my son? Have you been caught by your own words, trapped by your own promises? Well then, my son, you are in that person's power. But this is how to get out of it. Hurry to him and beg him to release you. Don't let yourself go to sleep or even stop to rest. Get out of the trap like a bird or a deer escaping from a hunter. Be quick to ask for forgiveness and make peace with those around you. If the Holy Spirit is convicting you to go and make things right with someone, then do it. It's always better to make sure that everything is okay. God wants us to have healthy relationships with each other. And I've found when I've done this, when I've humbled myself before a friend or even before a stranger, however I felt like I've offended someone, when I go to them, it only builds a bridge. Sometimes I find I didn't do anything to offend them, and other times I did. And in those times, I'm so grateful that I did it, because our relationship or the way we speak to each other is restored and made whole, and we can move forward from then on. And we don't have to lay awake at night worrying about it. And every time we see them, we don't have to feel guilty about it. We can just let it go and move on. So I hope those few little tips will help you to navigate your yeses and your noes, because they really do affect us profoundly, the decisions that we make. And God wants us to make wise ones for our benefit and for the benefit of everyone around us. In the early church, everyone shared what they had with each other. And if someone was really blessed and had land or homes, they would sell them and they'd share the proceeds with the church and with their brothers and sisters. It was amazing the level of generosity that they showed towards each other. So this was how they lived in community. This was their authentic community. And if we read Acts chapter 5, 1 to 11, we'll learn some things about lying to the Holy Spirit. There was a man named Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira sold some property that belonged to them. But with his wife's agreement, he kept part of the money for himself and turned the rest over to the apostles. Peter said to him, "Ananias, why did you let Satan take control of you and make you lie to the Holy Spirit by keeping part of the money you received for the property? Before you sold the property, it belonged to you, and after you sold it, the money was yours. Why then did you decide to do such a thing? You have not lied to people. You have lied to God." And as soon as Ananias heard this, he fell down dead, and all who heard about it were terrified. The young men came in, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife, not knowing what had happened, came in. Peter asked her, "Tell me, was this the full amount you and your husband received for your property?" "Yes," she answered, "the full amount." Peter said to her, "Why did you and your husband decide to put the Lord's Spirit to the test? The men who buried your husband are at the door right now, and they will carry you out too." At once she fell down at his feet and died. The young men came in and saw that she was dead. So they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The whole church and all the others who heard of this were terrified. Well, this story terrifies me too. And this is not a story from the Old Testament. God will not be mocked. And he wants his church to be truthful when they say that they belong to him. He gives us grace to be obedient. And we cannot walk the narrow road of Christianity on our own or in our own strength. We desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to honor him and to honor any vows or promises that we make, even to honor our simple yes or no. God does not want us to fall into condemnation after reading this story. He wants us to be convicted to live according to his ways with integrity and honesty. You know, I struggle to understand God's ways sometimes. And now, if we compare the behavior of Ananias and Sapphira to when the Apostle Peter denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus not just once, but three times, why wasn't he punished, so to speak, in a similar way to them? Well, I know they're different situations, but they're both quite serious in my opinion. So let's read from Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 31. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Then Jesus said to them, "This very night, all of you will run away and leave me. For the scripture says, 'God will kill the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised to life, I will go to Galilee ahead of you." Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "I will never leave you, even though the rest do." Jesus said to Peter, "I tell you that before the rooster crows tonight, you will say three times that you do not know me." Peter answered, "I will never say that, even if I have to die with you." And all the other disciples said the same thing. But Peter was the only disciple that actually denied him, not just once, but three times. Well, I can only surmise to say that it wasn't God's will for Peter's life at that time to punish him, like he punished Ananias and Sapphira. Jesus even prophesied to Peter himself that he would deny him, didn't he? And Jesus also knew in advance that Peter would die and suffer through crucifixion, just as he did. You know, this teaching is intense, and it's indeed a beautiful punch in the guts, but it's not pretty. And it's interesting, isn't it, to see how God individually treats us and disciplines us, guides us and loves us. You can see two quite, I guess, tough situations dealt with very differently. We can be sure that if we remain tender-hearted and humble towards him, God's preeminent love, mercy, and truth will cover and guide us always. We just have to keep remaining in him and living simply and allowing our yes to mean yes and our no to mean no. And when we can't do what we say for whatever reason, we need to go to each other and talk through it and give our reasons why. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 15, it says this: "Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him. Build your lives on him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught. And be filled with thanksgiving. See to it then that no one enslaves you by means of the worthless deceit of human wisdom, which comes from the teachings handed down by human beings and from the ruling spirits of the universe, and not from Christ. For the full content of divine nature lives in Christ, in his humanity. And you have been given full life in union with him. He is supreme over every spiritual ruler and authority. In union with Christ, you were circumcised, not with the circumcision that is made by human beings, but with the circumcision made by Christ, which consists of being freed from the power of this sinful self. For when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ. In baptism, you were also raised with Christ through your faith in the active power of God, who raised him from death. You were at one time spiritually dead because of your sins and because you were Gentiles without the law. But God has now brought you to life with Christ. God forgave us all our sins. He cancelled the unfavorable record of our debt with its binding rules and did away with it completely by nailing it to the cross. And on that cross, Christ freed himself from the power of the spiritual rulers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them by leading them as captives in his victory procession." You know what? got absolutely obliterated. Sin, the power of sin, the enemy, sickness, death, doubt, fear. He just absolutely defeated them. And we now, as sons and daughters of God, can walk in that victory. The victory that he fought so hard for our benefit. Amen. It's good news. You know, to close, I will read the James 5:12 scripture again, but this time from the Message Bible. And since you know that he cares, let your language show it. Don't add words like, I swear to God, to your own words. Don't show your impatience by concocting oaths to hurry up God. Just say yes or no. Just say what is true. That way, your language can't be used against you. I just love how Jesus simplifies life for us. In our flesh, we want to look amazing and be impressive, and unfortunately sometimes even manipulate situations for our own advantage. But he wants us to be full of love and grace, to simply live in his ways. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except by me. If you would like to give your life to Jesus today, there's an opportunity at the end of this service. God bless you, Gateway Church. It's been a delight to share this scripture with you and unpack it a little bit in my garage. God bless you heaps and see you soon.